One day we'll lay away this old cross that we bear each day. Won't have to bear it any longer. I'm thankful that Jesus was able to bear the cross up Calvary's hill that I couldn't carry. And we should take up our cross daily and follow him. So today let's be much in prayer for all those I mentioned. And do remember Brother Bob's family there in the loss of his sister Betty. We know that she has no more Alzheimer's, that she's doing well today, Brother Bob. And so just remember their family as well. All the ones as they go and make arrangements and as they anticipation of the passing from this earthly bonds into the heavenly bonds, let's remember them this morning there in Juanita's family. That's Johnny's sister, also Debbie's mother. So let's keep them in prayer. Remember Mom, she did find out this week she doesn't have to have the chemo. Still up in the air about the radiation. She'll find out this week should about that, whether she has to have that or not. So just keep praying for her, and we're thankful for that. So just continue to keep her in prayer. Let's remember all the ones that have all the different kinds of cancer that's going through treatment. Let's continue to lift them up in prayer. Remember Thomas Sturgill there as he's going through his treatments and different ones. Let's continue to remember Karen Caudill and the different ones that have had the battles with cancer. We're thankful for the miracle we got with us this morning as we see Sister Pam back there and think about her battle and how God gave her victory, and we're thankful for that. And Brother Stephen's going to have victory. He does have to have some more surgery this coming Friday. Remove a couple more tumors there. So just keep him in your prayers, and then everything's going to be fine there. So just, I think he likes going to the hospital, have people make over him, the way he keeps on going. So, but just keep him in your prayers and lift him up. We know that this is a hard thing he's going through. So just lift him up. He jokes and laughs a lot, but he does that to keep, from showing his how he does feel about it. So just keep him in your prayers. We're thankful for him. Just remember all the ones that's been going through the different things that's going on that God knows all about, that he'll answer and bring to light the things that's in darkness, and he'll point those things out, and that justice can prevail. Any other prayer requests before we go to the Lord in prayer this morning?
Yeah, let's
remember Dennis Bottomley and Minnie Brooks. Also Jimmy Church, he'll be having some surgery. I believe next Monday, not tomorrow Monday, but week following. So let's remember Bonnie, and let's continue to remember Edwin and Pat's mothers and David Lambert. Let's continue to remember them. Also remember Miss Cox. She broke some ribs there and had some pneumonia, so let's keep her in our prayers. Also remember Philip. He thinks he might have cracked a rib the other day there, so just keep him in your prayers. Those are painful things to have, I know, so just keep them in your prayers. Anyone else? Prayer request. Well, that's wonderful. So let's continue to lift him up in prayer, Parker Strickland. So let's thank God for that. Amen. So let's remember these two young boys and also remember Hunter this morning. Amen. Amen. We're thankful for that. We never know on the highways anymore what's going to happen. So it's be careful going through those construction sites and meeting trucks and things. You never know. Anyone else with a prayer request this morning? Half of Jean Lyons, so let's remember her. Amen. So let's remember Jamie as he's traveling. Also, I believe he's got some herniated discs there, so he's having some problems with those. Let's remember him there. God would put those back in place and relieve that pain and torment from that. Anyone else? John and Linda, let's keep them in our prayers. Amen. Took 3 teeth to get him back up here on the mountain. I tell you what, that's hard, that's being hard-headed a little bit, I think. But we're glad he's here with us, and pray for him there. He'll heal up from that quickly. Glad to have him with us. Anyone else? So let's remember Thomas Sturgill there and his mother and his sister. Any others? By uplifted hand. Anyone that can and will, please come to the altar for prayer. Randy, would you lead us in prayer this morning, please? Amen. Bud, would you ask a blessing on the offering this morning, please?
Oh, Heavenly Father, come to me once again. Thank you for many blessings you've bestowed upon us. Thank you for bringing us back to thy church. Now, Heavenly Father, bless the one that was sick. There have been so many sick here in the church. Bless the family. Now, be with this other family as they Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you have done for us and what you will do for us. Now, Heavenly Father, as we take this offering this morning, would you bless it, the upbuilding thy kingdom, that we may use it in a wise way to upbuild thy kingdom. All these blessed rest in our name. Amen.
Amen. We do have a wedding invitation from Wesley and Megan. It says, together with our families, Megan Suzanne Cleary and Wesley Reeves Weaver, invite you to share in the joy and celebration of their marriage on Saturday, the 9th of August, 2014, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon at New Hope Church, 6522 U.S. Highway 221, Laurel Springs, North Carolina. So we appreciate that invitation to their wedding. Be praying for them. Also remember Sandra's cousin. She's getting married this afternoon. So if you would, lift them up in prayer also. Bridget's also got an announcement she needs to read.
Melissa had asked me to read this. That is loud.
He turned it down.
Okay. John and Linda, you know, they're a vital part of our church. They're going to be celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. And the invitation reads, John and Linda White are celebrating 50 years of love, family, and faith. You are invited to join in celebration Sunday, August the 10th, from 3 to 5. It will be a floating reception. And it's for New Hope. And anybody that, Melissa said, for anybody that you all know that would want to attend, that they've went to church with in the past, to please share it with them. If you want to RSVP, they wanted to know by the 29th. But she said that wasn't a huge deal. I'm also going to put it, or try to put it on the call tree. And so most everybody that's not here will get it and know. So that's August the 10th from 3 to 5. So if you can't be here at 3, it is floating. And they were, you know, hoping that everybody could please help them celebrate their mom and dad.
All right. Everyone stand to your feet. Welcome each other to church.
All right. Let's start making our way back to our seats, please.
The sign-up sheet also on the back table is for the homecoming and decoration. It'll be here on August the 17th. So if you will, please sign up on that. It's on that back table there. Feel free to do that after church. And we're looking forward to a good time there together in that. So just keep that in your prayers, as that'll be here in just a few more days. So homecoming coming around once again. Also, our annual conference meeting will be August the 6th for election of officers and election of pastors. So if you got any gripes and complaints, I guess don't be here that night or be here that night. So anyway, that will be on August the 6th, the first Wednesday night in August. That will be our conference. So remember this and be here if you can. It's important. Don't always sit back and think, well, there's two or three going to run the thing and I don't have a say-so. If you're not here, you can have a say-so. So if you are here, then your voice can be heard. So please, come out. Be part of a church conference. It's important, from the youngest to the oldest. I didn't know what church conference was about till I was almost grown, or what it was even consisted of. I had never seen one. It was held on Wednesday night. We didn't go. It's important that you're part of it and know what's going on in the church, to be part of the church business, because it's all of us's business to be in the house of God. It's all of ours to carry out what God would have us do. So please be here if you can. All right. Our special singing. Who's going to sing today? I believe Tammy was on the list. And that's not Tammy. This is Jake.
I sang it 4 or 5 times, but I haven't really sang it all the way through. So just pray for me.
Most any day, a sound will be made that's never been heard before. And when it's made, it will burst open the grave of everyone that went to sleep in the Lord. And though change will when his glorious church leaves a simple world and goes home to the place he's prepared. Fire and brimstone will rain on everything that remains, and the fire will fill the very air. But those who are saved will have done left their graves glorified, robed in white, gone home, where we'll praise him forever.
Amen. You know, eternity has begun for a lot of people already. Those, whether we realize it or not, we have an eternity when we're born. We have an eternity in heaven or an eternity in hell. The choice is ours to make which place. Hell was already chosen for us because of sin. But we have a choice that Jesus Christ gave us through the blood of Christ that we can be saved. That an eternity in heaven of peace and joy can be what we have instead of the eternity of torment. So I thank God that eternity has already began. And I thank God that he's in charge of my eternity. If you will, turn to Genesis chapter 6 this morning. And verse 6 is where we're going to begin. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 6. Like I said, pray for me. This week has been a hard, heavy week. And just pray the Lord just give us strength to be able to comfort and to be a help to those along the way, and not only to be a help, but also whenever we need help that we can receive a help from God and help from each other to lift us up. This morning as we look into Genesis chapter 6, we've heard this week of many different tragedies taking place. We hear of wars and rumors of wars and ceasefires and treaties broken and all these things that are happening. We hear of countries that are shooting into other countries and trying to put their ideas and beliefs onto them and bring them into their country and strong hand people and all these different things. And we always as America think we've got to fix everybody's problems, that we've always got to be involved with their struggles. But meanwhile, back at home, we've got people that are starving. We've got veterans that are suffering out there that are homeless, and different things are taking place that have served our country and give us these liberties. We have children that's being mistreated and all these things. And meanwhile, we're turning a blind eye to a lot of things that's happening. We have a lot of violence in America and across the world anymore. And as we was led to this last night as we was reading there, and God put our mind upon this to preach from today, and thinking about the violence that it's talking about here in Noah's day, how much more violent could it have been then than it is now? We see violence on the other hand. We see people that are going daily and getting concealed carry permits and going to classes so they can be armed. There's churches that have people that are armed in their congregation just in case something takes place. We heard of a church not long ago that had guns that were stolen from the church, as well as some PA equipment and different things. And makes you wonder, if you're not safe at church and you're not safe at home, where in the world can you be safe? And I know that I am safe in the arms of God, that he's going to take care of me. I guess I just be like John Hagee was whenever they come walking in, that big biker guy. Decided he didn't like John Hagee because his girlfriend got saved and was going to shoot him. Walked point blank range, took six shots at him, Three went to the left and three went to the right. When God's standing before you, there's no weapon that can be formed of man that can prevail against you. But the violence is great, and it's getting greater. The more desperate and deprived people get, the greater the violence is getting. And we see all these things happening. We cry about the gun control and all these other things and vehicle recalls and stuff that we see going on. But let me tell you what the problem is a heart problem in America. Our heart is not on God any longer. Our church is in many a place. Their heart's not on God. It's upon the number that's on the board. It's upon tickling people's ears and making them feel good with a flirty message and don't get down to the truth of God's word. And it's plain and simple to see that we're getting like it was in the days of Noah, that man's mind is on evil continually. We see in Noah's day that said the sons of God looked upon the daughters of men and saw that they were fair to look upon and took them to be their wives and come down in those forms there and made herself appear to be human forms and had earthly wives here. And it said that they was giants in the day and all these things, supernatural, superhuman beings and height and different things there. And we see that God saw all these things happen and he wasn't pleased because of man's mind being on evil continually. And in verse 6 it tells us, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And when I thought upon those verses, I thought to myself, Lord help that he would ever think that he ever repented because he made me, that he had ever saved me, that he had ever called me, that I'd ever broken his heart and grieved his heart because of the evilness in the flesh of this body and the evilness of mankind, that it repented God that he had even made man here. And just a few chapters before, we see him speaking the world into existence. We see him forming the man out of the dust of the earth. And let me tell you, while we're right there, he didn't take different piles of dust and make different people that day and make different colors and nationalities. And that's being taught today in churches, that God used different colored dirt and made different colored people. That is hogwash. When it come to the Tower of Babel and their language was confounded and the world was scattered, that's when the differences in the culture and the people come into being. It wasn't because God used different colored dirt. And he didn't use no dust buster to create man out of. He formed it out of the perfect dust that God had created in a perfect world. It was because sin caused the imperfection and caused the difference to come into mankind. But it wasn't because God used different dirt. Thank God he used that he used to form the clay of the dirt to make man. And then he took from man's side the rib and made woman. Not from his back, not from his heel, but from his side for her to be a helpmate, to be side by side. Not treated any lesser, not used as a carpet to walk upon, but to be a helpmate, to be the lesser, the weaker vessel. That's the way God created it. In verse 7 it says, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created for the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things and the fowl of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. How sick can God be of us today? You say, preacher, that's awful heavy burden to put on somebody. Good. We need to listen. What are we doing for God? What on earth are we doing for heaven's sake? What are we doing for heaven's sake today? Are we warning people about the coming tribulation? Are we warning people about the coming eternity, either heaven or hell, and that they need to make their choice right now while there's breath in the body and time to repent, and they need to choose Jesus and give their heart to him and surrender and believe in their heart and confess with their mouth into salvation? Are we telling people? Are we satisfied? I'm saved, my wife's saved, my kids are saved, and I'm not telling anybody else. I'm satisfied. I'm afraid that's where we've got. We're satisfied. But he said he was going to destroy both the men and the beast and the fowl of the air. He was going to cleanse it and get rid of the filth that was here. How much longer can it be that God says, son, he says to his son, says, go get my children and get them out of that mess. I'm tired of them having to suffer. The last one's been saved. The door is shut. Grace is over. I'm removing my spirit from the earth, and they'll just have to do the best they can. How long is it going to be? Someone posed a question to me this past week about people being saved in the tribulation period. Whether it's going to be possible. It's going to be possible, but it's going to be difficult. The only way that it says in God's Word that I've ever been able to find in a tribulation period that anyone will be saved is that they're going to be become a martyr because of their belief in God. How are they going to believe in God if they've not heard? If they've not heard. They're going to have to trust in the only begotten Son of God. They're going to have to trust in God and become a martyr and say, God, I've given my life for you. Boy, it's a lot simpler now, isn't it, in the day of grace. When we just have to say, I admit I'm a sinner. I admit I'm a sinner. And Jesus, I believe in you. And I want to confess to the world that you're my Savior. And I want you to be my Savior, and I want you to come in. Boy, it's a lot simpler than losing your head for what you believe, isn't it? Thank God, gaining all the riches of glory because you trust in the only begotten Son of God. It says now in verse 8, and I thank God for this every day, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know why I think that we're still here? Because there's been a few people that's found grace in the eyes of God. There's been a few churches that's found grace in the eyes of God. They've got a mission. We've got a mission to reach the lost and dying and bring them in before it's eternally too late. But if we've lost our vision and we've lost our zeal and we lose our will to reach out to those that are lost and dying, we're not going to have that grace. Yes, it's going to be gain for those that's ready to go if God calls us out. But friend, for those that are left, what a terrible time it's going to be. And what if it was your job to witness to that one soul that needs to be saved? But we're quiet. We're quiet. Example is, we had two big screens up here. And Duke and Carolina was playing. There'd be plenty of racket. Be plenty of noise. If the race was on, people would be cheering or booing for whoever's winning or losing. You know you've made it in NASCAR when they start booing you when you win. But boy, we get wrapped up in that, but when we get talking about God and service to Him, we get silent. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. Boy, I tell you, that's a big bill to fill right there. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Boy, I hope that's what can be said about me. Many times, though, I'm afraid it would say that Brad stumbled with God, because I'd let things stumble me up. God never did. Things get in my path and they become sometimes a stumbling block. I try to use them for stepping stones, but I'm still flesh and blood also. But he was perfect in his generation, and what Noah walked with God, and Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. How much more corrupt can we get than what we are now? How much more violence can we stand? Planes being shot down by missiles. People having home invasions and being shot. People being kidnapped and their lives taken. People just walking up who don't even have any relationship with people and taking their life. How much more violent can we get than what we've faced? People in their houses taking chemicals and making a drug called methamphetamine. Now, I'm going to tell you my personal opinion. This is from the book of Brad. But any drug dealer that's caught making that stuff ought to be charged with murder for the poison. But that's the evil and the violence that we see growing and escalating because Satan is hard at work trying to take people's lives before they surrender to God. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. He said, I'm going to get rid of this junk. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of their thinking that it's all about them. You know, there's a thing there about the me generation. Boy, we've become that. I don't know. I think we've switched from the me generation to the I generation. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and I don't care if you don't like it, that's what I'm going to do. And that's the way we approach God. Well, God, you can just forgive me for what you said you would, but I'm going to do it my way. No, we're not going to do it and get by with it. We're going to do it God's way, or we're not going to be blessed. We're going to have to do it God's way or we're going to suffer. We have to do it God's way if we're going to please Him. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shall thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with the pitch. This is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of it shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height 30 cubits. And a window shalt thou make to the ark, and a cubic shalt thou finish it above, and the door, and the ark shall be set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. God give him a complete plan of how to build this ark. And guess how Noah followed the plan? He didn't make it 301 cubit feet long. He didn't make it 49 cubits wide. He made it exactly to God's specification. Exactly to God's specification. God has specifications all through His book for us as Christians. He said, do this, don't do that. If you do this, then you'll be blessed. If you do this, then you'll be cursed. But yet we turn a blind eye, we thumb our nose at God and say, we don't care anymore. God, how you said do it, we're going to do it our way. But he made it exactly as God told him to with the second and third floors. And it says, and behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters. It wasn't Muhammad. It wasn't Allah. It was God himself is going to bring a flood of waters. It hadn't rained upon the earth. A mist had come up and watered the earth until this time. But he said, I'm bringing a flood of waters, Noah, to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Death is coming. But thank God, I died out to sin and became alive through the blood of Jesus Christ. That this flesh I will lay off one day, but I'm going to live forever in eternity with Jesus. Because He loved me. We see the ark as a type of the salvation. God was providing a salvation for Noah and his family, for Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. As they come into the ark, God prepared and made a salvation for them that they would not perish because Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Noah walked with God, so his family was saved. His family was saved. That everything didn't have to die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wives, and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Now when you go over in chapter 7, you see where God is going to take Noah into the ark. And he also goes further in the explanation of what else to bring in the animal kingdom. Here we see it says bring two, his male and his female. Also of the clean animals we're going to read about, he said also bring the male and his female in a pair of seven. Because if you brought in a pair, you wouldn't have a pair if you had seven. You'd have one that was by itself. God said bring in male and female, seven of the clean and of the fowl of the air, that they might preserve the seed upon the earth. God knew exactly what He is doing to be able to bring the new earth after the flood back into existence, to replenish the earth, to plant those seeds that needed to be. He told Noah how to, what foods to bring with him that he ate to bring on there for his food and his family's food and also for the animals. God knew exactly what was going to take place. God knew exactly the plan. It just wasn't by chance that it happened. God knew. A fowl after their kind, of cattle after their kind, every creeping thing of earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all the food that is eaten, that thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. You notice something. Thus did Noah according to all. Not just partial, not what suited Noah, not what was easy, not what could just be gotten very readily. He said all, according to all that God had commanded Noah, he did it. He did it. I don't want you to raise your hand because there couldn't be any that can go up. How many of us in here today has done all that God has commanded us to do? Preacher included, none of us. We'll be honest about it. We've all got failures in our service to God. We have all failed. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. My righteousness ain't what's going to get me to heaven. It's the righteousness of Jesus. Because I failed. I wished I could say that I never had. But I'd be lying if I said that. Like I said, I get discouraged. I get downhearted and downbeat. Because you preach and you try to tell people and you try to warn them and you try to instruct them on how they should live their life by the Word of God, and they just turn a deaf ear. Oh, that's good. That's a good story. Boy, if they'd been here, they really needed that. And if you thought that this morning, maybe this message is for you. Would you be in the ark? Or would you be on the outside? Because God shuts the door to the ark, not Noah. When God shuts the door, no man's going to enter in. When God shuts the door, that's going to be it. Right now, the door's open. Jesus is that door. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to me unto the Father except by me. Paraphrased. You're not going to get there if you try to go any other way besides Jesus. Jesus is the only way. His death, burial, and resurrection was the atonement for your sins and for my sins. Am I perfect? No. Will I be perfect? Yes. But it won't be on this earth. I have a perfect part in me that struggles with this carnal flesh every day. There's a battle. And I pray and I study and I ask God to let the spiritual man be victorious over this carnal flesh. And for the most part, he is. But there's every once in a while we ever get in a pity pool and want to have you a pity party. Preachers do the same thing. And it takes the encouragement of God for us to pick ourselves up. Say, devil, you're not going to keep me down here. I've read the book. I'm victorious. Get away from me. I have victory through Jesus. And because I am found to be worthy that he called me, that he sanctified me through his blood, that he justified me, that just as though I had never sinned, when his blood was placed upon me, it took those sins away that separated me from a heavenly God. But daily I must repent and ask Jesus to forgive me. Daily we have sins and transgressions that we need to ask God to forgive us. When we see that Noah done exactly as he built on the ark, Noah, 600 years old. 600 years old. This morning I was complaining because my fingers didn't want to work to button up my top shirt collar here. Ladies, I know you've got things that aggravating to you, but boy, this thing right here is really aggravating to me. Trying to get that thing buttoned. I got some 16 and a half shirts and they just won't button at all anymore. Sandra got me a shirt this week and it was a 17 and a half. I said, oh, I can't wear that. That's way too big. So she got me another shirt, and it's a 17. And I've got on the 17 and a half. I started going through my closet looking at all them shirt collar sizes. I had some that said 17, 17 and a half. Which is it? They're just guessing at it, I guess. But I know the clothing of God that he puts on me is just the right size. Just the right size. And it's made for me. Just as the garments that God has prepared for you are for you. Tailored to fit you. Every blessing that he's got for you is tailored just for you at the time that you're able to receive it. That's an awesome God we serve. Now you think if you're standing up here where I'm at, and every one of you started talking at the top of your voice trying to get me to hear you, how much confusion that would be. But you know what? God picks it all out. He hears every voice. Every voice that cries out to Him. Abba, Father. I need Your help. I'm down. I'm frustrated. I'm discouraged. I need Your help to lift me up. Father, I'm a sinner. And I need Your Son for salvation. So you pray that prayer, all those others, God's not hearing. Now, if I bursted your bubble, I'm sorry. But until you cry out to God for salvation, all those other prayers are in vain. They don't get no higher than this ceiling. We had that during Vacation Bible School. But once you cry out, Father, I'm a sinner, and I need to be saved, God's ears are open. His heart's attentive. He's already been working on your heart, or you wouldn't realize you're a sinner. Because until you found yourself lost, you didn't know you needed someone. Once you did, God says, I'm making provision for you. I've prepared the ark. His name's Jesus. I've prepared the way. He's already went to the cross of Calvary. There's nothing else you have to do except believe and confess. Believe and confess. If Noah had decided, he said, well, God, you know, I've got a better idea for this ark. You know, we all do it this way. We all do it that way. And that pitch, that stuff's awful sticky, and it really makes a mess. Ain't there something else we could use? Noah didn't try to change God's plan, did he? Said Noah done exactly as he was told. Boy, I wished I had been that obedient to God. I hope and pray that you are. But I tell you, I'm fallible. I make my mistakes. God still loves me. I'm not above reproach. I'm not above sinning. But thank God I've got an advocate with the Father. I've got an advocate with the architect of the world that set the world on its axis and started it spinning. And she ain't slowed down. Still keeping that constant speed. Gravity's still working like it's supposed to. Sometimes a little too good, but it's still working. The sun still comes up in the east and sets in the west, just as God ordained it to. The moon rises and has dominion over the night. But thank God there's going to be a sunrise one morning, and He's going to call all of His children home. Noah done the work that God commanded him. He told Noah, he said, it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights upon the earth. Get the animals prepared, bring them into the ark. Bring in the food, get in your family. Bring them into the ark. In 7 days, it's going to start to rain. And all this is found in chapter 7. And as Noah got his last provisions on board, got the last animals prepared, had them on board, and everything was prepared, and all the family was on board, God shut the door to the ark. And it began to rain. And it began to rain. But God shut the door to that ark. Noah didn't have charge over who might get on board. He preached the whole time. He was working on the ark. And people scoffed. There are still people saying that we're crazy for coming to church on Sunday. There's no use serving God. Just do the best you can and afterwards see what you end up with. Oh, I ain't going to live that way. I ain't got enough faith to live that way. I'm just going to trust God and let Him be in charge of it. I'm going to trust Him to take care of me because He said He would. And I'm just silly enough to believe Him at that. Just simple enough. If He said it, I believe it. And that's good enough for me. Are you prepared? God's got an ark this morning. He's saying, get aboard. Get aboard my ark. His name is Jesus. I build a way from earth to heaven by way of a cross and 3 nails. And the blood of my Son paved the way unto your salvation. He went to captivity as He went into paradise and preached to those that died in faith believing He was coming. He said, He that had been prophesied of old is here. I am the Messiah. And those that died in faith believing were resurrected and took with Him. And they were seen. of others. But thank God, most importantly, the sun rose on that third day. Thank God he come forward from the grave alive like he's had always been before, since, and will still continue to be. He had power to lay his body down. And he did for somebody as unworthy as me. Friend, you've never done anything so wrong that God can't forgive you. And you've never done anything so right that you can get to heaven without him. God loves you this morning. He said, will you get on my ark? Will you come aboard? There's still provision. There's still a place. There's still room. But soon that door's going to be shut and that opportunity be taken. Friend, Jesus is knocking at your heart's door this morning. And it feels like inside your chest it's about to explode and your heart's up in your throat. That's the convicting power of God. And what he's saying is, I love you. I want you. I want you into my family. I'll adopt you in through the blood of Jesus. And I'll be your advocate, and one day I'll be with you and I'll be your God and you'll be my people. But will you come? Will you surrender to God? You're not surrendering to Brad Wooten. You're not surrendering to the deacon board. You're not surrendering to New Hope Church. You got to surrender to Jesus Christ. To Jesus Christ. He loves you this morning. And he's died and give you the very best that heaven has. Will you receive it? Will you get on board his ark? Will you be saved through the grace through Jesus Christ? As we stand to our feet to sing, as she plays an invitation song this morning, will you surrender and come to God? Friend, I wished I could do it for you. I wished I could get saved for you. I'd be in this altar right now, getting saved for every lost person in the world, if I could. If I could take your burden myself, I would, but I can't. God didn't make me that strong. Jesus was, and Jesus still is, and he will be even more tomorrow. Will you trust him today and become his child? Will you surrender to his sweet love that he gave his life for you? And no greater man hath a love like this than to lay down his life for another. What a love that Jesus has. Friend, will you surrender and come? Will you raise your hand and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm lost and I need to be saved and I realize I'm lost. Pray for me that I'll just trust him, that I'll surrender to him. Will you just raise your hand and say, preacher, pray for me. I'll be glad to pray for you. I'll be glad to. But you got to make the first move. Make that first move. Don't wait till it's too late. Don't wait till it's too late. Christians, maybe you're here this morning, you got a burden on your heart. My heart's heavy over many things that's going on in this world. Will you come and bring it to the altar? Lay it at Jesus' feet, whatever it might be. Maybe it's family members that's backslidden and out of the will of God. Bring them and leave them at Jesus' feet. Maybe it's a friend that you've got that's don't know which way to turn. You've tried to talk to them and tried to get them to go to church. They just keep neglecting it. Keep putting it off. Bring them and leave them at the altar. Jesus can carry them. Jesus can deal with them. Jesus will give them salvation through his blood. Maybe you got a financial struggle you're going through. Whatever it might be, bring it to the altar. God's able. God is able. You may be seated where you are. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and we thank you for the story of Noah, dear God, and him being found faithful. And that he walked with you. That he followed your plan exactly in preparation for the flood. And dear God, as he made the provisions and as he preached and as he told people what he was doing and why he was doing it, that you told him that it was going to be a flood of waters upon the earth, that all living things were going to be destroyed, and he was going to save you through, dear God, the ark that you told him to prepare. that he was going to save him and his family. God, I thank you that you sent even a greater ark, your son Jesus. That, dear God, through his death and burial and resurrection, that, dear God, he made a way that I can go from this earth to heaven through faith in him, through belief in the finished work of Christ. Not anything that I can do, add to, take away from. Because the things that these hands can touch is carnal and flesh and will pass away. But dear God, we thank you that the Spirit is eternal. And dear God, we thank you that when this body ceases to function and this goes back to the mother's dust of the earth, that God, our Spirit, goes back to the Creator that gave it. And God, we thank you for those that are walking heaven's gates on heaven's streets this morning, that last week was still with us. Dear God, help our hearts that are in pain for losing them, and dear God, our selfishness of wanting them always to be with us. But God, we praise you that we know where they're at. And dear Heavenly Father, as we see times growing more evil on every hand, we know that it won't be long until you call your church home. Whether it be now or 50 years from now, 500 years from now, God, it'll be in your time and according to your will. And we thank you that we don't know the day or the hour, but that we would be prepared as you come in the next moment of time. And God, we thank you and we praise you. We pray for those that are struggling with faith, dear God, and trusting you. Dear God, that you will give them strength, give them understanding of your word. Dear God, increase their faith. And dear Heavenly Father, for those that have faith but seem timid and weak, dear God, increase their faith, increase their territory. God, that they would even grow stronger and bolder to proclaim your word and live it in their life. God, we pray that you help us when we're discouraged. That, dear Heavenly Father, when it seems that all ears are turning deaf, that one who ears is open, dear God, will give testimony to you of your greatness to encourage us along life's way. God, we thank you and we praise you for this day. Lord, we pray that you will be with all the families today, that you watch over and protect them. Dear God, for those that's going to get married this afternoon, I pray that you'd put a protection about their marriage, that they may stay together along in many years, dear God, together and bless their union. For those that were married yesterday, for those that are coming in just a few short weeks, God, we pray your blessings upon them all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.